This is your Loan Officer Experience.
Y'all ready for this?
I went to this conference. It's the second time I've gone now. It's called Rewire Conference. And basically it is how to rewire your brain. Because we all could use a rewire of our brain at some point. Especially in today's society, right? With Facebook. So it's just time to decompress for a moment. Take a step back and think and realize. And so I was really thankful for that, for the time to reflect. And I was thankful. So what could this lead to? Better listening and better relationships. Again, I'll talk more about that here in a quick second. The first thing to do next is listening to understand. And again, in today's world where a lot of people are just listening for the other person to take a breath so they can
reply.
I was trying to think of a more intrusive word.
Two
like barrage the other person with their thoughts, feelings, without listening to understand, right? But listening to understand, parking that for a second because I will talk about that. But within that Rewire conference, some of you guys know Jade. He was there. And I was kind of like, what are you doing here, dude? Like, what brought you to the Rewire conference? Listening to understand, right? And he said, oh, I heard it was pretty cool, whatever. Well, I kept asking more questions, and I'm like, so what did you come here really to work on? Like, so this isn't where, like, people go, and there's 300 people, and it's like, you're going here for a reason. There's a purpose, and it's only a room full of, like, 50 people. But you're going here for a purpose, because most people would think this is completely weird. And it is. It's definitely weird. It's not normal. Weird in an amazingly awesome way. Just for a quick snippet, they talk about your limbic brain, they call it your lizard brain, versus your prefrontal cortex, and how the two parts of your brain do two totally different things, and why you do things even though you know you shouldn't be doing them, or why you don't do things, weird stuff like that. And it's all neuroscience, and it's amazing. So I say to J.A., dude, how'd you hear about this? Like, you know, why are you here? And he kind of gave me some little bullshit answer, and I kept asking questions. And when I go to conferences, I don't normally go and hang out with the people at the conference because that leads to drinking and up all night, and then the next day I don't. J.A. came up and goes, hey man, are you doing dinner? I said, absolutely. You want to go? Do it. Me and you. We'll go. And I did that, and I don't normally do that. And I had the greatest dinner conversation that I have had in quite some time. Come to find out, he was there at the conference because that's what HPM does. They go to mortgage conferences, and they meet loan officers, and then they try to get business. And I looked at him, and I go, wow, really? So how did you feel when you got here? And he just started laughing, because that's not the place for this. He goes, dude, I was here 5 minutes. I put my stuff back in my car, and I was here at the conference. Like, this was amazing. I said, wow, so dude, you weren't even here for this. He goes, no, but holy cow, this is exactly what I'm looking for. So anyway, we ended up going to dinner, and where I was at the conference, I was there in April with Fairway when we did our annual, the President's Club trip. It was like 10 miles up the road, so I knew where I was at. And as we're driving to dinner, I go, oh, dude, here, make a left here. So where are we going? We pulled into the parks that they have there, and we sat there and watched the sunset go down for 15 minutes. And there was something like magical and divine about us getting together. So we go and have dinner, and I started sharing my story. And I asked about his, he told me his story, and I started sharing mine. And it just brought everything so amazing, like how this world works. And if you stop for a minute and think and realize and listen to understand, like, there are so many things connected in this world that we don't even understand. So I'm talking to him, but I'm out at the Rewire conference. One of my major things that I'm trying to figure out is, what am I doing with this Veterans Retreat initiative that been talking about for a very long time. And I met a guy a year ago, or 6 months, 6-7 months ago, and we just started talking about 3 months ago about a veterans retreat, about doing this. And I'm thinking, dude, I'm committed, I'm in. Thinking in 2 or 3 years, you know, we'll do so. So this opportunity came in front of us, and we're ready to like make a decision and do this veterans retreat, go to closing in January. And I got cold feet, and I'm like, well, I don't know if I can commit to that, and you know, whatever. So one of the things I wanted to go out here was get quiet and figure out. And it's funny, I was sharing that with him, along with my entire story, of even why we're all here in this room. And it has to do with God taking control. Jay, you've heard this story a million times. Me giving control to God 8, 10 years ago. And in talking with J.A., it was funny. I was reflecting, and I said, when I gave up to God 10 years ago, it didn't get any better. It got worse. And he started laughing. He's like, well, it's not kind of how it works sometimes. I said, but I didn't, you know, give up, and I stayed in there and stayed in faith. I said, and then it got better. And I said, now it's so good. And as I'm feeling emotional telling this story with looking at every single one of you guys. Because this is like this is the reward, this is the payoff, this is what so many years of struggling personally, of not getting paid, of reinvesting, of taking chances, of taking risks. And I get to stand here and man, and tell this story. I didn't know this was coming, but this is what's coming of it. And to see every one of you in this room, and it's just amazing. So in this conversation that I was having of how amazing things are, I thought about the risk and how hard it was and challenging, and you know, and it really reaffirmed to me that, don't forget, he's in control. And if I'm supposed to be doing this, to committing to this project, it's not going to come without risk. So as I was sharing, 10 years ago, it didn't get any better. My dad died April 1st, 2008, and my business crashed and I lost it. And I'm telling my story, and I'm looking at him and I'm like, wow, this guy's either really interested in what I'm saying, or he just like stroked out and there's nothing here. Like, and I think I lost. I don't know. I can't tell. And I just stop and I go, you okay? And he's like, dude, I'm not sure. What's wrong? He said, did you just say April 1st, 2008? I said, yeah. Because that's the day I had my heart attack and almost died.
Oh, holy crap.
So your dad died on April 1st, 2008. He had a heart attack this guy, J.A., had a heart attack at 44 years old. Like, totally unexpected. And he said, that's the day I was saved. And that's the day your dad died. And then he told me his story about the fact that he was at Rewire on a totally different president's. The fact that he got what he got from Rewire, and didn't go, oh, F this isn't for me, and left, right? Mm-hmm. He stayed, he was into it. The fact that we knew each other, again, I don't go to dinner with people there at these conferences. If I'm gonna do it, I like to do it by myself for reflection purposes. I have that, and then he goes, do you know what I do? And he's a minister he's a men's minister to people who wanna be saved. And just like, the whole entire story, really, I mean, it was, there's a lot more detail that I'm not going to share because a lot of personal stuff from his. I'm an open book, I'll tell you everything about me, but I don't want to respectfully want to share his stuff. But it all just came together, and it was supposed to, because I'm in doubt of what are we still, so why do we do this, right? Why are we doing what we do here? And it doesn't have to be each person individually saying, hey, I'm going to go do my mission. You all are part of this mission. You all are part of a mission that is going to help veterans every single month in their retreat, in their pursuit of getting back into the world, into the light. You guys, every single one of you here at the table, any part of our team is going to help stop the 22 veterans. Really? So, can help stop the 22 that kill themselves every day. And man, that was just, I am so thankful and grateful that that happened. It was absolutely amazing. One of the gentlemen at the retreat was talking to another gentleman. So the guy who was running the retreat, this rewire retreat, on how to rewire our minds, right, was talking to a gentleman, we'll call him a client, I guess. He's also a friend, but he is a client. And they were talking, say, how's it going? Well, my wife and I are getting divorced. And the guy says, why? What's going on? Tell me about that. Well, we're in the store the other day, and we're shopping, food shopping, and my wife says, honey, get some mustard. And the husband, of course, says, no, I don't think we need any. I'm not going to get it. And she goes, just in case. Why don't you just get it? Because I think we need it. And the husband goes, no, I'm pretty sure we don't need it. Okay, that's cool, honey. I get it. But just pick some up just in case. Then he gets angry and says, what is it that you don't understand? We don't need mustard. And she goes, what is the problem? Could you just pick up some mustard just in case? And it just kept going on and on. Well, we don't need it. Could you just get it? And they get into this big, drawn-out fight in the grocery store. They end up going to check out, and it continues in the car. But I just didn't understand why you just couldn't pick up some mustard. You don't trust me? And the husband goes, don't you trust me? So it's not about trust. It's about just in case. They go into the house. They're fighting tremendously. She's crying. She runs upstairs. And what do you think the first thing that the husband goes and does?
Checks the mustard.
To see if they have the ham sandwich.
Checks the mustard.
Prove it. Checks the mustard, right? And the counselor, the guy running the retreat, says to him, well, why did you do that? Why is that what you did? Why did you do that? I'm just asking why. Because I wanted to find out if I was right. The guy says, well, how did that work out for you? And he says, Steve, when I went to check, there wasn't two, there were three mustards. Steve said, well, how did that work out for you? I was right. And Steve says to the guy, you are such a jackass.
Your wife's upstairs crying, bro.
You are such a jackass. But I want you to think about that for a second. I'm going to give it, for the sake of time, 15 seconds. In complete silence, I want you to think about that for a second. Leads me to that saying that we hear so often. You can either be right or you can be peaceful. The cool part is you get to choose. So how important is it to be right? So Steve goes on to tell the story. He goes, I tell this story literally in every one of my talks. I tell this story. 2 years later, I'm doing an event. And just like she always does, my assistant Edie brings me a sheet of the attendees. of who are attending the class. And who do you think is on that sheet?
Mustard Boy.
Mustard, it's exactly what he called him. Mustard Boy. And Steve goes, dude, this is a pivotal thing of my... This is like a pivotal... You know, I have a story. I tell a story. People, they have their story. It's pivotal. And he goes, oh my God, what am I, should I do here? Should I like change it to ketchup or something? Or like, no, he's definitely picked that up. So anyway, he goes and he says to the guy, he goes, hey man, I've used your story. Of course, I never said your name. And I'm planning on using that here today, but I won't if you don't want me to. And I, you know, I kind of, what do you think about that? And the guy goes, ah, man, no, that's okay, dude. You know, I'm over it. It's good. It's, you know, and if it helps people, that'd be great. So Steve tells a story. Tells a story with Mustard Boy in the crowd, right? So as he's telling the story, now Mustard Boy is piercing look at him, like feverishly, like he's just angry. And after the seminar, the class was over, Mustard Boy comes up to Steve, and Steve's like, oh my God, what did I do? What did I say? Did I, you know? And just has this look, and he goes, first of all, maybe I shouldn't have had to tell the story. And second of all, I wrote some notes here. You got it all wrong. You got that entire story wrong. Here's what happened here, and here's what happened there. And Steve stops and looks and goes, seriously? You can either be right or you can be peaceful. And he goes, seriously? 2 years later, you're still doing the same thing? And he says to him, you are such a jackass. Again. Why am I sharing that story? Because I'm willing to bet every single person in that room has done that at one time in their life with somebody that they freaking care about tremendously. You know why? We're not perfect. And that's okay. So everybody forgive themselves for that. This isn't a guilt trip. I'm guilty as hell as well. But what's really cool is when you're cognizant of things, you can change. That's the cool part about things. You can change. And when you're cognizant about things, the next time that comes up and you go, yep, let's just get the mustard.
Jeez, a mustard.
That's so funny you say that. That's exactly what Steve goes, buy the whole fucking store. Buy it all. Yeah, whatever, who cares? You have a happy family. You got a great marriage, happy family with a fridge full of mustard. Who cares? Who cares? But you're right. So when you're cognizant of things like this, you can change. And you can go, you know what, hey, I don't need to be right. I would rather be peaceful. Because isn't that what it's all about? What is it like to be with me? What is it like to be with me?
I want to write this. I was supposed to ask myself. Who else thought?
That's my next. No, that's
think myself.
No, that's my next question. Who thought that? What's it like to be with myself? Cool. Who thought what's it like to be with Michael Mann? Show of hands. Come on. Yeah. Awesome. It was about yourself. What's it like to be with yourself? Not about me.
No, absolutely.
Interesting how you skirt the responsibility and put it on the person speaking, as opposed to taking the responsibility and going,
in the context that you were speaking.
How did I hear that? Because it's about how you heard that. It's not about how it was said. What is it like to be with me? What is it like to be with me? What's it like to be with me? What does that mean to you? So this is the point here. Again, honestly, who thought about themselves? Show of hands. Cool. And who thought about what it's like to be with me? Me. Cool. And here's the reason to split. And here's the reason why communication is so important. Only 7% of communication is verbal. You know that? And I have studied this. There's facial expressions. There's posture. There's tonality. There's There's a lot. I said, what's it like to be with me? Half the room thought one thing, the other half thought the other. And this is where listening to understand comes into play. Could we use this in our normal everyday life with our spouses? So it's funny, Holly doesn't know anything about this, but I said some stuff back in my office that she, and I'd like to seek to understand what she was doing there, but she used it back to me. I took it as almost a sarcasm, kind of shot across the bow, joking with you, ribbing me, buddy, type of thing. But, you're going to hear this from me. So, hey, what I think I heard you say was, right, and asking, so what I think you heard you say was, and then the other person's going to go, no, you got that all wrong. And then we get defensive and go, I got it wrong. You said it wrong. Listen to understand. What I think I heard you say was, oh, no, it wasn't. Oh, cool. Go ahead and clarify what that is. And it's all about communication. So I went through 3 days of this, by the way. If you guys are like, this is crazy, you would have hated all 3 days of this stuff. But it's all about those little tiny tweaks to improve, right? So what is it like to be with me? I want you guys to ask yourself. It's introspective. What's it like to be with me? For those of you that would go to the fridge and check the mustard, what's it like for your spouse to deal with that? And it's not just about the mustard. It's about everything. Because if it doesn't blow your mind to go, what's it like to be with me? Honestly, I'm pretty cognizant. I'm pretty cognizant of how I am. And I know it's all in joking and fun and kidding around, but I know there's some seriousness. It's hard for you to keep to follow me. I get that. I'm all over the place. And when I go, what's it like to be with me? It makes me reflect on the inside and go, man, how could I make it easier or better for the people that I'm working with, talking to, friends with, my wife, my kids? So listening to understand. Listening to understand is huge. There was listening, which is just listening, understand, listening. So this is a question for the ladies in the room. Actually, it's a question for the guys too, flipping it around. So when you go home at the end of the day and you have complaints, not about work, of course, not our environment, but you have complaints, or you're complaining about something, or you're wanting to talk to your husband about something, and you go to talk to him about it, and about 30 to 40 seconds in, he says, well, why don't you just do this? And you go, no, you're missing the point. And he goes to give advice, or goes to give, like, well, why'd you do that, or why didn't you do this, or why didn't you do, right? You know what I'm saying? Okay, all right, cool. You guys are, like, stoic. I'm not shaking my head. Patty's like, I'm not shaking my head. Brandy's in here. I'm just kidding.
No, because he listens and I listen, and we let each other bitch, and then, that's pretty much it.
So guys, how about guys? We're fixers of stuff, right? I'm so guilty of this. My wife comes home and goes, this happened. I couldn't believe it. And I go, well, why don't you go do that? Did you hear what I just said? And I'm like, yeah. Why don't you just handle it like this? Forget it. I'm like, well, I was just trying to help. My wife was pissed. I was just trying to help. Because I'm a fixer. Yeah. I'm a fixer. Yeah, shut up and listen. I'm a fixer. So, and I've learned this years ago, at the first Rewire Retreat, what it's like to be with me. All she wanted to do, so what I do now, when she comes home, and she's complaining about someone or some other thing, and I'm just like, just out of curiosity, honey, are you looking for my advice, or are you just looking to vent? And it's so much more peaceful. So much more peaceful. Why? Because I ask questions. I sought to understand. And I wasn't doing anything wrong. So this is where that whole stuff comes into play. What did you mean by that? Well, dude, clearly I meant what is it like to be with me. Clearly I meant you were supposed to think that yourself. Oh, really? No, because that's life. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole... So are you looking to just vent or are you looking for advice? Sometimes she's looking for advice. But I never have to guess that because it's like, hey, gaining more clarity. So we were busier two, three months ago. A lot busier. What's really funny is we're going to find that even though we're less busy right now, you're going to either be in the same sort of like, holy cow, I'm busy and I can't handle more, which is funny to think of in itself. You're going to feel the same amount of stress right now that you did months ago when you were busier. It may even get worse. Our minds play tricks on us all the time. We only think we can do, like we only think we can handle 40% of what we actually can handle. This was taught by JC, one of the Navy SEALs that were out there. The Navy SEALs come in and do a half day with us. And you only think you can achieve 40% of what you actually can. And that's when the mind starts playing tricks, is where we start to get limited and capped. So he uses the word embrace the suck and push through. And I'm going to use that in my weight loss, in my workout regimen, in my whatever the next freaking 45 days looks like for me. I'm doing it. I'm going to embrace the suck. They talk about that from Bud, Navy SEAL and Budge training. The other thing that they have here, and this is something I'm going to talk to us more deeply about. That's why I didn't want to really go into it. But every human being, the human being, human mind, has 3 hours of massive productivity time a day. Only three. I thought about that. I'm like, wait a minute, I pay people for 8, maybe more. They're only good at 3, right? No, I started, that was a joke. Obviously not very funny. So, every human being has 3 hours a day where their maximum productivity. Do you know when yours is? When you're massively productive, that 3 hour gap. You do? When is yours, curiosity?
In the morning.
Yep. Anybody have a different answer?
Mid-afternoon.
No,
evening. What'd you say?
Mid-afternoon.
Studies have shown, when you say mid-afternoon, it's after 3 p.m.
I was going to say 12 to 3, but...
Studies have shown, they have done massive studies on this. No one ever in the history of this test, and there have been thousands and thousands of case studies, had their most productive after lunch. Not one. And they did massive studies on that. And that is because of...
What happens if you don't eat lunch?
Perhaps you don't eat lunch. But that is what they've done is it's the middle of the day.
Yeah.
They eat the lunch. The body crashes. Mm-hmm. But your three massively productive hours are not, or they said no one's in this test was after lunch. Which goes to, we're going to talk about this, from your productivity hours is when you should be making your calls, planning your day, like doing the working on your business type of activity. And then the other rest of the day is not, it's not that it's waste, but it's not as productive. So basically what I just wanted to share with you is, you know, some of the key points that I brought out of this. And I'm just always constant, never ending improving, working on myself so I can be better for you guys as well. And if I can, in the meantime, be influential and help, and you take a tidbit here and go home and, hell, you don't fight over the mustard for sharing that, then I'm happy to do that.